Welcome to NucleCast, the official podcast of the ANWA Deterrence Center. Our host is Dr. Adam Lowther, co-founder and vice president for research at the National Institute for Deterrence Studies. The ANWA Deterrence Center is a 501c3 organization ensuring a broader understanding of the nation's strategic nuclear deterrent and its ongoing modernization. Thank you for listening and welcome to the show. The views of the host and the guests are their own.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of NucleCast. Of course, I am your host, as always, Adam Lowther. And today we have a very special guest. Now, you probably know who this lady is because she happens to be the administrator of NNSA and the undersecretary of the Department of Energy for Nuclear Security. Now, if that doesn't give it away, of course, I'm talking about Jill Ruby. And we're very pleased to have you on NucleCast. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's great to be here with you, Adam.
Now, for the listeners of NucleCast, this is a podcast that's designed for, the entire nuclear enterprise, the defense and energy components, plus our contractors and our commercial companies that support the effort. And so they've been watching you over the last 4 years. They've been watching the NNSA and all the many things that it's been up to and the challenges and the successes. And so now as you sort of are coming to the end of your time in the seat and you're looking back and looking at all the work you've done, and you're probably sort of happy that you can go back to normal life now, because I know these jobs are incredibly demanding. What are you looking at and saying, this is what I'm most proud of? These were the biggest challenges. Tell us about how you sort of evaluate that.
Okay, well, great. I must admit that it's sort of a bittersweet moment because, I'm really proud of everything that we've been able to accomplish in NNSA. I think we've accomplished a lot, and I'll talk to some of that. But at the same time, you're never finished. And so it's now a real crunch time, like absolutely put the finishing touches on things. But let me talk to you about, on the big picture level, about what I think our biggest successes have been. So the first and, the most important, I think, is really delivering modernized weapons on time and on budget to the Department of Defense. I mean, we've made many hundreds of modernized weapons over the time I've been in this job. The exact number, of course, is classified, but it's a pace that the NNSA hasn't worked at since the Cold War. And we got there. It's been repeated year after year. There's every reason to believe it will be maintained. So that's what we do. We deliver the nuclear deterrent, job one. But also, I think of nuclear deterrence as more than weapons. It includes what we do in global security, includes what we do in naval reactors. And the thing that I'm most proud of in that regard is I think we've really strengthened our relationships with allies. So, we were in a moment where there wasn't a lot of discussion with potential adversaries, but there was a lot of opportunities to work with allies as a result of the Ukraine conflict, among other things. So we've established, I think, stronger partnerships in nuclear security, especially with our NATO allies, but also with Japan and Korea, with Australia, with Ukraine and the surrounding countries. And so we spent a lot of time strengthening those relationships, and I think that will serve the United States well going forward. And then the last thing I'll say is that we really built, I think, much stronger partnerships within the interagency, particularly with DOD, but with also with state and the White House. We spent a lot of time working tough issues, trying to respond to the needs of the moment. And I think both inside the organization and outside the organization, our partnerships are stronger and our priorities are clearer and clearer than they have been. So I sometimes say, like, in short, I think the big accomplishment that I'm most proud of is I think we got our mojo back in the United States. So,
So as you look at the things you wish you could have accomplished but are still not finished, what might those things be?
Well, I think the one place where we still have a lot of room for improvement is delivering infrastructure projects. You know, we have these large programs, these large projects that use special nuclear material. It's hard. Construction in the United States of America is hard right now. Actually, it's pretty hard across the world, but it's really hard. COVID disrupted things, disrupted supply chains, disrupted labor. The labor pool for construction. And I think we've made good progress. You know, we've created a dedicated organization to do the work. We've clarified our objectives. We laid out a plan. We've brought in new talent. But the bottom line is we're still not delivering the way we need to deliver on large special nuclear construction projects. We've done a better job on smaller projects. We're learning. We've made, but you know, we have so much to do. I'd like to say that I think NNSA should be among the best organizations for infrastructure in the U.S. government. If you look at the amount of money we're spending and what we need to do, we've got to get there. I think we're on our way, but not quite there yet. And this is going to be really important going forward.
So as you bring this up, and a lot of people are thinking about, you know, the construction going on down at Savannah River for pit production and have been watching what's been going on at Los Alamos. Are there, as you have had to deal with this and had the frustrations and the challenges, is there anything that, you know, you would say, man, if I could just change this regulation or eliminate that rule, or is there anything that you could talk to us about that? Because a lot of people just say, I don't know why NNSA can't be faster, but yet they probably don't have the sort of the details that you have to work through. So can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I wish it were one issue, right? Because then we could really focus and change that. But I think there's a variety of issues. So both internal, external, and so let me just start by saying these are really hard projects. They're one of a kind. They haven't been done in many cases in, you know, 80 years since we started the nuclear weapons program. They certainly haven't been done in a career. Like it's a whole lifetime, right? And so we just haven't done things like this in a long time. And, you know, we closed things, but we haven't opened things. So they're unique projects. And you know, we have to relearn how to do them. And they're hard, like to build a facility that's going to handle enriched uranium or plutonium means you have to actually build first a concrete factory, right, near the site. And you're going to be moving concrete like all day, every day for years to pour the walls, not to mention the rebar that you need in these walls to make them designed against the threat bases. And do I think that should be changed? No. I mean, I think that's a real threat basis, right? I mean, we've got uranium and plutonium. We've got to be serious about this. We haven't done them in a long time, and they're really hard projects to do. Then in addition, just as we were getting started with this major rebuilding, you know, we had the COVID pandemic. So now we had supply chain shortages showing up all over the place that we couldn't necessarily predict. Even things like sometimes like pipe hangers we couldn't get enough of, or certainly electrical switches and things like that. And labor shortages. I mean, we just couldn't get people to work. I mean, they had to work on site. You can't do construction, you know, remotely. But I think we have overcome those things now. We've laid out, you know, we're doing much better, but they're not easy projects to do. Now, internally, I would say we are trying to develop a process within the Department of Energy that is tailored to delivering things on schedule. So in general, the Department of Energy besides NNSA, does large science projects. The schedule isn't as critical as it is for us in NNSA, where this work needs, you know, we need to get into that facility and we need to make pits or whatever, or secondaries or whatever we're making. and we need it by a certain date. And so we're working closely within the department to try to also develop a schedule-driven process that's more efficient and effective that will deliver projects on schedule and not just deliver projects, against a more relaxed schedule and a budget constraints.
So the Strategic Posture Commission came out with the report and had lots of recommendations. And this was a bipartisan group that, from both sides of the aisle, and they had a lot to say and a lot to say about where we are, where they want us to go. As NNSA looked at that report and has thought through that report, what are you guys thinking and advocating, and what would you like to see happen in the years ahead?
Yeah, the commission did a really great job of laying out issues and challenges and their best thoughts about how we could tackle those. NNSA, this is an interagency problem. Like, NNSA has not developed our own strategy, because it really is a strategy associated with DOD and the Nuclear Weapons Council. But we certainly have worked a lot with the Nuclear Weapons Council, the Commander at STRATCOM, and others to address the Strategic Posture Commission report. They highlighted the risks associated with transitioning from current systems to new systems, and the specific focus on the investments that would be needed in the industrial base in both DOD and NNSA. And, I really think that as the new administration comes on board, they're going to have some hard decisions to make about how to prioritize nuclear issues and the rest of the government, because the Strategic Posture Commission basically said, we've got a lot of work to do. And they didn't say we were doing things that didn't matter. What they said is, you need to do that and a whole lot more. So to do that, there has to be the budget for it. And then, we can set priorities. And I'll give a shout out to STRATCOM here. I think they've done a really nice job of rethinking the deterrent as a result of the transition issues. The Nuclear Weapons Council has done a good job of laying out those issues. So I think we're on our way. But in the end, it's going to cost some money. And the question is, what are we going to prioritize for the money?
Now, I'm sure you get asked the question about pit production in the facilities and all the time. It's probably one of the main questions you get asked. Can just for one more person, let me ask you that same question and get the sort of where we are and sort of what do you see happening on a given timeline?
Yeah, I think we now have a very clear plan regarding pit production. I would just say the original concept of 80 pits per year by 2030 was notional. There was nothing, there's nothing wrong with it. You gotta put some targets out there, but there wasn't a specific plan to do that. And what we've been able to do in this administration is lay out the specific plan. So a couple of pieces of this. Number one, Los Alamos is going to produce the W87-1 pits, the pits for the warhead that will go on Sentinel. And Savannah River is going to start their production with the W93 pits, the pits for the new sea-based system, the weapon. And so first, we've got clarity around that. Second, there's clarity around the timeframes needed as a result of making those decisions. So now we know that, we can produce 30 pits per year at Los Alamos, as well as have the capacity to conduct plutonium research. We want to make 30 pits per year by 2028. We'll continue to install equipment after that to get more and more reliable. But if we do that, we'll be in good shape for the 87-1. And as of course, as you know, we diamond stamped the first production unit of the W87-1 pit about a month ago. That's a big step. We know we can make qualified pits, and so now we just need to do it reliably. And for those of you who don't know, diamond stamping is the way we certify that pit's going to serve its purpose in the stockpile and it's good to go. So that first bit that will go in the stockpile was made, and others are in the pipeline. Now, of course, we also have Savannah River. So Savannah River is converting the MOX facility. So, you know, Los Alamos is refurbing an existing building. And in a way, that's what we're doing at Savannah River, too. We're using the old MOX facility and turning it into the Savannah River Plutonium Processing Facility, SRPPF. SRPPF is slated to make at least 50 pits per year. And now that we've laid out the W93 as their objective, the schedule is very aggressive. It calls for the completion of construction by 2032 and pit production at scale by 2035. We know this is a super aggressive schedule, and we wouldn't have it except we need it. And so we're doing everything we can to streamline, understand how to get to those dates. And we've, you know, we're changing our process. We hired Fluor as the construction manager for that. We're getting best practices from industry. We have a lot of focus on that. And so I think at this point we have a good plan. We said immediately we couldn't make 80 pits per year by 2030, but we come as close as we can. And now we know what that means.
Mm. Now it's that time of the show where we have to take a quick break. And when we come back, if you could talk about NIF. I mean, NIF, you know, it's famous in America for its role in Star Trek, but it has another purpose. And if you could talk about that, and for those listeners, because a lot of listeners probably heard about this, but they might not necessarily understand exactly what that means and why it's such a big deal. So if you could talk about that, you're listening to NucleCast, and we'll be right back.
Join the ANWA Deterrence Center team and exchange monitor at the annual Nuclear Deterrence Summit, January 27th through 29th at the Crystal Gateway Marriott. This year's summit features speakers from NNSA, U.S. House of Representatives, the U.S. Senate, National Laboratories, the U.S. Department of Energy, Department of Defense, contractors, and more. Sign up through the link on our website to receive a 15% ANWA Deterrence Center discount at anwadeter.org. We hope to see you there.
And we're back, and we're talking to NNSA Administrator Jill Ruby. And she, Jill, NIF, tell me about it.
Okay, well, this has been one of the most fun things on the job is achieving ignition at NIF. So that means that we got more power out of our capsule than we put laser power in. This was a big deal. There were a lot of people guessing over a long period of time that maybe it could never be done in a laboratory environment, but we did it. And not only did we do it once, but we've done it four additional times. And so we now know it's repeatable. And in those additional times, we've actually been able to get even more power out. So we're very pleased with the fact that we can do this. Now, the reason people are so excited about this is not only because it's an incredible scientific achievement that took many decades, really, if you think about it, to achieve, but because they imagine the energy implications of fusion energy. So if you could get, you know, basically like the energy out of the stars, and you could do that in a way that was repeatable and could be put on the grid, it would make energy not only clean, but, you know, sort of nominally also very cost effective. And that is exciting. And many startup companies are now working on that. But our job is not that. Our job is to study what happens in a nuclear weapon and to fully understand it and to make sure that we understand how it works today, how it works over time. And that's really what NIF is for us. It allows us, without doing underground testing in a laboratory environment above the ground, to work in energy regimes that we haven't been able to replicate except by full-scale nuclear explosions underground. So it's very exciting to us to be able to now explore these new regimes scientifically and to do that, you know, with success for a number of shots every year. So I really hand it to the grit associated with trying to get this done and just the significant scientific achievement that it was.
Now, you mentioned earlier that we have more projects going on across the labs, across NNSA, manufacturing, research, finally have a new warhead design. I live in Kansas City, so Eric down at KCNSC has got his hands full. I mean, the guys at both of the design labs have their hands full. Talk to us about what it's required and what it's been like to come to this point where you have more going on than you've had going on in either of our careers, in probably anybody's career.
Well, my career started a long time ago, so there was a lot going on at that time. But look, there's a lot of things that have happened. The first is that we put immediate emphasis on making partnerships within NNSA better. Now, every administrator has done this. Like, that's not unique to me. But maybe what is unique to me is I actually really understood the enterprise, right? I worked in it for 34 years before I took this job, right? So I understood the power of the different sites we have, the culture of the different sites we had. I got to know, of course, the culture better within the headquarters and trying to figure out, like, honestly, we really have to step it up. What can we do to do this? And everybody embraced that. I mean, to the credit of the entire enterprise, they all embraced that. Like, let's start talking about what we can do ourselves better, what we don't need Congress to do. We don't need anybody to tell us, like, what we can do better. And that was a great start. And that got us into a place where we were, you know, much better positioned for success. And then there were just lots of things happened in the world. Like, it was just so clear, like, this, we are in a new place. This is a new environment. We have to rise to the occasion. And there is real dedication to the mission. In addition to all the other things we do, but in the end, the mission associated with the nuclear deterrent, the nuclear proliferation, the counterterrorism, our naval reactors and the new agreement with Australia. I mean, everything was saying you got to step it up. And we did. And I think, you know, the secret is to create an environment where people are allowed to do their best. And yeah, that's what we tried to do.
So, you know, I don't think I've heard that the new administration has nominated anybody for the administrator role, but whoever that person may end up being, and if you have a chance and, you know, you get behind closed doors and you want to sort of download your advice from your sage advice from your time in the seat, what would you say to that person? I mean, what advice are you going to give them?
Well, I look forward to hearing who the new administrator will be. I hope this position is filled quickly. I really do. There's a lot going on, and a strong leader in the position will be welcomed by everybody, including me. I would just say, like, I've said a lot of this, but just to sort of foot stomp it. First, we have to accelerate construction projects. They've got to get done. You got to pay attention to them. In a million years, I would not have known how much time I was going to personally spend on reviewing and understanding the construction projects and how they were going and what changes we would need to make. I would say really working in the interagency, right, with the DoD and the State Department and our partners across the interagency. We can't do this business in a vacuum. We've got to know what it is that is going to make effective nuclear deterrence. And that's really hard in the environment that we live in today. I mean, none of us are practiced at an environment the environment we see coming, which is two nuclear peers, right? Like, what does that mean? What's effective nuclear deterrence in that? And bringing the best ideas to the table. we've got to be more creative, and we have to be more critical about nuclear, like what, you know, not just revert to, well, let's make some more of everything, but decide what will really be an effective deterrent. And so concentrating on that. And of course, you know, my personal opinion is it's made a difference in what NNSA can bring to the government as an enterprise to actually have leadership that you know, deeply understands the business that we're in. There's a lot of things that happen where you have to know in that moment, what does this mean? You know, in the early days of the Ukraine conflict, we were very concerned that Russia might use a nuclear weapon. And I didn't have to spend a lot of time learning about what that meant. I mean, certainly my organization helped me with that. But I also knew, like I, you know, I had the fundamental. So I would just say, like, leaders come from many different backgrounds, but they, for this job, you need to make sure that they've got a highly competent, you know, either they know the stuff themselves or they surround themselves with a trusted group of advisors, because nuclear things come up quickly and they persist for a long time.
I think what you're trying to say, you're using my favorite German word. And it's one that Clausewitz talks about when he wrote On War. He talks about Fingerspitzengefühl, fingertip feel. You know what something means and you know what to do. I think that's kind of what you're getting at, is that person needs to have that fingertip feel for how things work and what should be done, and just sort of innately know. So, yeah, I definitely agree with you there. Now, it is that time in the show where I like to bring Bob the Genie out. And as I rub my magic lamp, Bob grants all guests 3 wishes. Now, they got to be, you can't wish for great wealth or to do it all over again. None of that stuff. It's got to be related to our topics. So, Jill, what is your first wish?
To rebuild the nuclear enterprise as we've laid out in this enterprise blueprint activity that we've recently conducted, and to do it on schedule and at cost, and be the best provider of major construction projects in the U.S. government.
Yeah, you will have a lot of lessons learned for everyone else.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Okay, so that's a great one. I think Bob's going to work that. I think he's nodding his head. He'll work that. How about wish number 2?
Wish number 2 would be to continue the momentum and build on it. I mean, we really developed a lot of momentum. And as you know, momentum is hard to get and easy to kill. We all know this, especially big enterprises, and the nuclear security enterprise is, you know, between 65,000 and 70,000 people. We have to keep the momentum. It was hard to get it back. If we can keep momentum, the talent, the just raw talent in the enterprise and focus, then we can be sure that we'll have the nuclear deterrence we need for the future.
Yeah, I mean, it's a time where people get to do interesting work. And I think, at least in my career, doing interesting work always mattered more than high pay. So this is the sort of the great part, is that there's a lot of interesting work going on. Okay, so we're down to your final wish.
Well, that we restore a nuclear IQ.
Oh yes,
in the country, there was, fortunately, I mean, it was a great thing for everybody that there was a time when leaders and strategic thinkers and policymakers didn't have to think that much about nuclear things, but that time is not anymore, and we have a new environment to think. So I've said this so many times in my tenure in this job, we have to have more nuclear IQ in this country. And it has to start from with, you know, it has to start everywhere, it has to bubble up, it has to come from the top down, but we really need it. We can't do what we need to do effectively and efficiently unless we really restore that nuclear IQ. So we got to have a National Security Council who understands it. We have to have a Nuclear Weapons Council that understands it. We have to have people all over the enterprise that are really invested in effective nuclear deterrence for us and our allies and what it means in an environment that we've never been in before.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's really a challenge these days. You'd be amazed at how many people, it's not just that they don't know about it, but they really don't want to think about it. And for somebody like me who tries to educate the public, it's something they would rather not talk about oftentimes. So it's a great wish. I think Bob's on all three. So it's, you know, we're now at that time where we have to wrap up the podcast, but as you think through what would you want our listeners to kind of walk away with and remember 6 months, a year from now? What is that sort of parting message that you might have for them?
Well, that NNSA really is delivering. I think there were so many years that it didn't seem like NNSA could deliver. And that, you know, people just got in the habit of saying the issue in you know, the nuclear weapons business is NNSA can't deliver. It's just not true. I would say we're delivering, you know, really against the odds. But we're doing it. We're doing it repeatedly, reliably. And we don't need to make, there's not like a magic wand we need to wave. We need to get better at what we're doing, particularly in the infrastructure area, but we need to keep doing what we're doing in science. We need to keep doing what we're doing in assessing the stockpile. We need to keep doing what we're doing and designing and building weapons and getting them done on time. And that's really the one thing that I want people to remember is that NNSA has stepped up to the challenge, and we are delivering. And it was one of the first things I said. Like I came up with my three word thing, which is, you know, pretty what everybody does now, and about NNSA. And my three words were innovate, collaborate, deliver. And I think that we're doing all of this.
All right. Jill Ruby, thanks for joining us on NucleCast.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks so much.
And thanks to you, the listeners, and we'll see you next time. Well, it's always good to talk to Jill. She's always good about, you know, giving sort of the latest update on what's going on and where things are. I know she gets asked, you know, similar questions repeatedly, but she did a great job letting us know. And it's, you know, it's an opportunity. You know, as administrations come and administrations go, and you get to sort of look back at what you've done over that period, it's a great opportunity to get to talk to her right now and see what she's thinking and what she thinks those big successes are. So it was great to talk to her.
This has been a production of the ANWA Deterrence Center, a 501c3 that seeks to educate key decision makers, stakeholders, and the public to ensure a broader understanding of the nation's strategic nuclear deterrence. Our executive producer is Kimberly Charrington, and this episode has been engineered and mixed by David Krunthal. Help us grow our followers by sharing it and follow the show on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter at NucleCast.